Modern Pilgrim's Progress.
Thank you, Brother George. And for those that may not have been in during the testimony meeting yesterday, we once again would bring to you the love of the brethren in Columbus, Ohio, that could not be with us at this convention, and particularly the love of Brother and Sister McKee. I sat and I meditated one evening on a subject that I could use for the then upcoming 1986 Indiana, Ohio convention. And it had been a hard day, and being of a drowsy spirit, I fell into a deep sleep. And during that sleep, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed that I saw a man walking on a narrow path, and that path led in an upward direction. It led out of a condition of darkness, and it led upward into a marvelous light. It came to my attention that this individual, he was called Bible student, but more often he went by the name Faithful. At one time in his life, he had been a resident of the city of this world, but he was an alien and a stranger in these parts. I desired to have fellowship and communion with him. And so I called out, "Faithful, Faithful, come, let us have fellowship together." But it was not meet that he should hear me. For after all, it was only a dream. He was in my dream. So I found that I would have to be content with merely being an observer and watching Faithful as he made his journey along that narrow path toward his destination, a city called New Jerusalem. Now, as Faithful walked along, he would often read from a scroll that he carried in his parcel. I saw the name on that scroll, and it was Bible. And the message that was contained therein was salvation. It was indeed a marvelous scroll. And it was the message to all the pilgrims from the great king who owned this land and who ruled in New Jerusalem. The Faithful read aloud with joy portions of this scroll that explained the wonderful character of that great king who he desired to serve. And he read of other wonderful servants of that king who had performed marvelous works on behalf of truth and righteousness, would often suffer for their efforts. He read with particular interest and special joy the message in that scroll concerning the great son of that king who had died for all and through whom he, Faithful, had been given this opportunity to enter in at the straight gate onto this narrow path. Assured of the richness and grace of the great king, for he would see that this king would sacrifice even his own son so that pilgrims might have such glorious opportunities as these. As he read, he was moved periodically to stop and cry out aloud, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." And yet it was also true that periodically he would get a puzzled look upon his face, as though to indicate that he didn't quite understand some particular point within the scroll. Well, after a while, Faithful came up to two men, and these two men were sitting at desks. He found out who these men were. One was named Head Knowledge, and the other was Study Much. They were always found at their desks, reading and studying and reading from this vast library of information that they had been gathering on the subject of the great king. Why, many of these books had been written over a period of centuries. But they felt, though, that all of these books were of great benefit to them because there was nothing that they loved more than finding some new little morsel of information about the king that they might put into their heads. Well, as he approached them, Faithful called out to them, and he said, "Greetings, fellow pilgrims. What a joy it is to see you. Is it possible that we could walk along for a spell together and share some of the wonderful lessons and the blessings that we have received from the owner of this land?" "No, no," they cried back. "Pilgrims we are, but travelers we are not. We stay here with our books, and we study all the time because we feel good and righteous from all the information that we get out of these books. We have no time for walking on the path." "Dear yoke fellows," replied Faithful, "I know it is true that there are many things to be learned about this land and about its king, and he would have us know as many of them as practical in order to help us on our journey. But is it not also true that he desires us to walk in this journey, on this path, in order that we might learn lessons of observation and lessons of experience, and that we might put into practice the many principles that we learn from the books, that we might demonstrate our love for him and our faith by the various tasks that we accomplish on the way? Are not these broader experiences necessary before he would allow us to enter into his city?" "Oh, such nonsense about experiences and the performing of tasks," they said. "We have not the time for any such thing, for we believe that we can serve the king just as well by what we do and without any of the hardships and the privations that always attend to such a long journey." "Ah, so much time spent with books, and yet so little wisdom," Faithful lamented. "By now you should know that the king requires much more than just the thoughts in our brains, that he tests our fidelity to him in this land by the good works that we perform and by our sacrifices, neither of which you possibly can do while chained to these desks." But they objected vociferously, and they refused to heed his good counsel. And so he had to leave them behind with their whole heads, but their foolish hearts. And as he left, he prayed that in all of their books, they might find something that might wake them up to their privileges. Faithful walked along the path a little further. And eventually he came to a place where the path parted. And there was a path to the left side, and there was a path to the right side. And he looked down both of these paths, and he couldn't decide which one he should take. Which way should he go? Well, he had a good idea. He pulled the scroll, Bible, out of his parcel, and he looked through its pages to find directions on which of these two paths he should take. But look as he couldn't quite tell there which path to take either. And so he sat and he pondered for a while. And he might have come into a condition of despair, but then two men appeared unto him. And they were dressed in white robes. And the name of the one was called Messenger, and the name of the other was Humble Acceptance. They inquired of him concerning the worried state in which he was. And he explained to them the dilemma that he had concerning his inability to determine which of the two paths he should take. Well, they, of course, already knew that this was his problem, and they were prepared to offer him some sound advice, which they did. "Then a night is far spent, and the day is at hand," the messenger began. "The king of this land has sent me, messenger, to provide special directions needed by the pilgrims who travel during this late hour Behold, I have six scrolls, yea, seven, that will lighten your path and they'll ease your walk if you are willing to accept them and the message that is in them. Then Faithful protested. He says, but I have this scroll Bible, and it is the king's true words. Can I not use it? Yea, verily, answered messenger, it is necessary that you keep it with you always, and that you know the words that it contains. But have you not already noticed that the king has locked many parts of this scroll to your understanding, so that you cannot see which way to go? Yes, indeed, the story you have just told us this day has confirmed this fact to us. Well, as you would expect, the king is the only one who can unlock the secrets of his scroll to you. If you would understand, you must accept the message he has chosen to so unlock the scroll. And the method that he has chosen is for you to use the seven scrolls. Humble-minded added to this. He said, as my name implies, humility is necessary to accept this, the king's arrangement. Many are there who have too much pride in their own wisdom or in their own ability to interpret. And eventually they find out that without these seven scrolls, they become confused and they enter into much trouble and sorrow. Faithful was a humble man. And so he reached out and he grasped the scrolls that were offered to him, for he desired always to follow the will of the great king. As he opened them and reviewed the message that was in them, the paths became clear to him. I see now, he cried, that the left-hand path is indeed the path of pride and self. And I see the bodies of those that have trodden there and have fallen into the ditch of destruction. But on the other hand, I see on the right-hand path that the path of the just is truly as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. And so he said, oh, thank you, dear friends. I'll never forget you, and I'll never forget this loving kindness that you have demonstrated to me. Thank God, they said as they departed. And so Faithful continued up the lighted path. Well, as time passed by, and Faithful began to weary. And he began to look for a place that he might stop and rest and receive refreshment. Well, providentially, he spied in front of him a small building of only one room, a simple place. He hastened to its door, and he looked inside, and he asked inside, what place is this? And who might you all be? Well, one inside of the building answered him and said, the name of this place is Meeting Hall. And we are all fellow pilgrims and fellow servants of the king, too. We have been gathered here to share some of the good things that he has given us. Well, with joy, Faithful rushed inside of that room, and he embraced them all. He said, oh, now I know that refreshment and comfort will be found here. And so he entered in, and they all discoursed together. And they talked about the many experiences that they had had as they walked along their path. They talked about the blessings of having had the eyes of their understanding opened by the use of the scroll, so that they might better understand that great scroll, Bible, that they also used. And they talked about things to come, not only in this land in which they walked, but also in the land before them, in the great city. Well, they praised the king for his magnificence, and they glorified that noble son of his. And they gave each other comforts and encouragements, and they shared many lessons that they had learned, which had the good effect upon them of stimulating them and of encouraging them and of building up within each one of them their faith. Was indeed a joyful time of rest for each one who was gathered there. During their discussions, Faithful noticed through a window that there was a pilgrim who was walking by, not bothering to stop and enjoy the good company in Meeting Hall. "What is the meaning of this?" he said. "Why would one do such a thing?" Wise man answered him, and he said, "Some pilgrims foolishly believe that they do not need to meet with other pilgrims of like faith and hope on their journey. For some reason, they believe that they're better able to complete their journey on their own without the help of others. Ah, such is indeed a foolish and dangerous position. Pilgrims of the King are one, and yea, they could aptly be pictured as one single body. Now, when one part of our natural body is separated, is it not true that it will eventually die and see corruption? Yes, it will, unless some skilled surgeon can reattach it and revive it again. Oh, this is possible, but sometimes not always, for if too much time goes by, corruption may set in. Look, behold outside, the pilgrim who has passed us by. I see him now off the path, and he's in the field of confusion, worry, and bitterness. We will call out to him and see if we can't lead him back up to the path. But we will not go out after him, lest we too become confused and fail to find our way back onto the path." The Faithful was moved very greatly by this event, and he thanked God that as yet he had been blessed with staying on the path that led to life in that new city, the New Jerusalem. Well, in due time, one in the room named Practical came forward and said, "It was time for the meeting to end." It was now their privilege of stepping back on the path and applying these wonderful lessons and blessings that they had shared at Meeting Hall. And so they all walked out. But as it were, they all entered onto their path. For even though they were all pilgrims, and they all walked on the same path in the same way and had the same goal, it had been said that each one must indeed make his own calling and election sure. Faithful enjoyed a season of easy walking for a while after this, in which he read the scroll Bible, he read the seven scrolls, and he made much progress along the path. No doubt he had been greatly assisted by the benefits that he had received. But, as we have seen, and as we all know, the path is not always an easy one. And so it came to pass that Faithful came upon an unusual clearing. And from this clearing led his own narrow path, and also three broader paths. And at each one of these broad paths was a man. And these men would take interest in steering pilgrims down the path in front of which he stood. One of them was called worldly minded. Another one was called self-righteous. And the third was named nominal. Worldly minded began, he approached Faithful, and he said, "Good day, fair pilgrim, and how have you found the way so far?" Pilgrim replied, "I have found it to be full of joys unspeakable and hardships." "Ah, that is your problem," said worldly minded. "You have too many hardships, and they slow you down. Why endure so many trials? Are they really so necessary? If you've proven your fidelity once, why keep doing it over and over again just to satisfy some king that never seems to be satisfied? Come down my path with me, and I'll be your guide. I'll show you the wisdom of the world, ideas, plans, journeys that will go easy on you, and they'll make the path you walk much easier. And my way will also lead you right up near to the gate of the king's city. Come on down this path. What do you say? Well, needless to say, Faithful was not a little bit suspicious of this. For he realized that his journey on this narrow path was intended to be difficult for the very purpose of developing in him graces and fruits. He saw that if he yielded to worldly thinking and worldly ease, that he would not only hinder his progress in the important aspects of his journey, but that he might also be taken up in sin from which he might never escape. He recognized that only in the worldly mind would they think that such a course as this could possibly lead even near to that great city. And so he answered with his thus saith, "You cannot serve two masters, and the friendship with the world is enmity with God." So he escaped that first way. But there was another man, self-righteous. And self-righteous tried to steer him into the broad road of self-reliance and self-satisfaction. He said, "Your and my understanding of the king's message is correct, but none other. Hearken unto me. The king looks rightly upon us, because we of all his pilgrims hold fast. We are the faithful ones. We are right in his sight. We are the ones who most perfectly keep the true message of the scrolls. Come down my path and be assured in yourself of your righteousness and of his favor." But Faithful had been studying. He had been studying the scroll Bible and the seven scrolls. And he had been studying not only their letter, but he had become familiar with their spirit. He knew, of course, that initially no one was right in the king's eyes, and that no one ever would be unless he accepted the king's loving arrangement of that sacrifice of his only son. And he knew that even with the scrolls, there were many things that were difficult to understand, especially since the pilgrims had different levels of ability, different ways in which they understood, different time in which he had spent on the way. Yes, indeed, acceptance of the scrolls was terribly important, but one could not gain favor nor righteousness, nor satisfaction by proclaiming with a self-piety that he had the most perfect understanding of them. And so he replied, "As for my understanding of the scrolls, I hope and pray that the king is with me and will help me in my understanding and my application of their message. And as for my standing with the king, there is none righteous, no, not one, except for those who are made so in the blood of the Beloved." And so he passed the second test. But thirdly, Nominal approached him with his subtle arguments. "Look yonder down my path," he said. "What do you see?" Well, Faithful looked, and he replied, "Well, I see, as it were, other pilgrims like me." "Ah, well seen," Nominal stated. "Notice that their outward appearance is exactly the same as you, and perhaps better. Ah, yes, they too profess love for the great king and desire to be in his service. They too profess a belief in the great sun. And they too profess to be striving for the same New Jerusalem. Come down this path with me. You'll be much happier there. The trials are few, and the experience is pleasant." Well, these arguments seemed to take hold on Faithful for a while, and he pondered over them, trying to determine whether he should take this third path. But then he made a statement to Nominal, and apparently it was providential. He said, "Oh, yes, how I would love to share fellowship with those who are likewise blessed with the understanding of the Bible and of the seven scrolls. And what a blessing it would be to share in offering praises to that great Son who died for us. The nominal said, Now, don't be so strict in your understanding. Yes, we use Bible for a fact. We use it, although sometimes we don't always think we need to. But the seven scrolls, no, we don't use those. In fact, we rather believe that these scrolls would be quite harmful to us, and so we will just never have anything to do with those. Well, as for the Son, of course we profess that He died because the great scroll Bible says that He did. But we all understand that He really didn't die because He couldn't. He was the King. Well, I guess He could have died. But no, He never could have died. Well, anyway, the point is that we don't see quite like that on this subject. And even though we can't intelligently explain what we do believe, we feel it is so important to believe it, we must insist that if you join us, that you change your belief to ours, or we might not be able to permit you to stay on this wonderful path with us. Well, then Faithful had his eyes open, and he saw that this broad path, just like the other two, was a road built by the great enemy of the king to stumble those who took pilgrimage. So he took his stand, and he said, "As I have received, so I give, that the great Son has died for all, having provided a hope for all in due time. And concerning the scrolls, I know them for what they are, meet in due season. No, not for mere professors, but for the true household of faith." And with that, he parted the clearing, and he entered again upon that narrow way. Oh, how marvelous is that great King to lead me in such righteous paths as this, he thought as he walked along. Indeed, his ways are past finding out. As he looked forward to faith, one with a saintly countenance strode up and met him, and said unto him, "Greetings, dearly beloved Faithful. The King has sent me to point you to a place of rest, where you will be greatly refreshed, blessed, and built up." And with that, Faithful beheld a larger building. It was similar to Meeting Hall, but it was on a larger scale. And he inquired about it. The saintly one explained to him, "This is Convention Hall, a place where larger numbers of pilgrims gather together. They meet to be taught, to bless, to be blessed, to share fellowship, bring praise and honor to the great King." "Oh, such a wonderful place," Faithful said. "I will be happy to stop here." And so he did. And much like before, he found that the fellowship of those of like precious faith as itself was a strength unto him. He enjoyed the many profitable lessons that had been presented there to the pilgrims, and he felt fortified, encouraged, and blessed, and well able to continue on down that path. Well, as all good things do, his time at Convention Hall came to an end, and so he went upon his way. And well it was that he had been there, and that he had been so wonderfully fortified, for soon he came upon three vile types: no faith, no love, and no patience. They were of an evil character, full of deceit and maliciousness. And Pilgrim was quite aghast at their sudden appearance. He wondered, how could types as these get so far down along the way? But eventually he understood that these were but wolves in sheep's clothing. Pseudo-pilgrims, as it were. Seeming messengers of light, who had probably taken advantage of many a poor pilgrim to get this far. But Pilgrim had been fortified. He was ready for them, and he was not swayed. He knew that if he did not have faith, he could never please that great king. And he knew that no matter how many great and wonderful deeds that he accomplished, that if he did not have any love, that they would all go for naught. And he understood that on this path, that patience would be his final test. Now at this, he greatly rejoiced, since he believed that if now he were being tested along the lines of his patience, certainly his final destination must be nigh at hand. And how correct he was. He left these three no goods behind him, and proceeding over a slight hill that was in the path, he looked and he beheld the New Jerusalem, that great celestial city that he hoped soon to inhabit. Words would fail to describe the emotion that surged through every fiber of his being as he beheld the glory and the majesty of that place. He stood quite some time, beholding its beauty and meditating upon its splendors. And finally, he started forward again, keeping its golden gate firmly fixed in his vision. Even though the city had appeared severely to him, it was indeed a considerable distance away. But Faithful was not discouraged, nor was he dismayed. He continued onward as a soldier marching, steadily getting closer and closer to that city. I could not quite tell how long a distance he did travel, nor how long it took him to get there. Eventually, he did reach nigh into the city. But as he approached it, he realized there was one more thing that he must accomplish before he could enter again. He saw before him, between himself and that golden gate, a large body of water, seemingly impossible for any human to cross. This was the great water of the time of trouble. Over it, mighty storms raged and they howled. The waters thereof heaved to and fro restlessly. And then to further aggravate matters, there were monstrous beasts dwelling therein, just waiting for prey. Some of them were beast, dragon, world, devil, persecutor, destroyer. Faithful beheld a sign on the edge of that water, and it said, all must stay on the path. And of course, the path led through the water of the time of trouble. Faithful fell to his knees and he prayed. And he prayed as he never had prayed before, for grace and for strength. Well, his prayer was heard, and we suspect that many other prayers that were offered on his behalf were also heard, for they were offered by righteous men. And being heard, they were honored, and Faithful received the grace and the strength that he needed in this greatest time of his need. He remembered then that the scroll Bible had said, blessed are the dead who die from henceforth. And that it also said, ye must all die like men and fall like one of the princes. And he realized then that even though this place would bring great discomfort to his flesh, yea, even to put it to death, that it was necessary. And that going through this great water was the very way to gain entrance into this heavenly city. And so he followed the path, entered into the water, and soon he was devoured. I stood a long time at that place, looking at that water, looking at the place where Faithful had entered in, where he had disappeared. When suddenly I realized that on the other side of the water, that I saw a stone. And it was a marble stone. Indeed, it was a tombstone. And I saw the name Faithful upon it. And I saw dates. Born 1952. Died 19... Couldn't quite read that second number. And it also had carved on it, He was faithful unto death. Eagerly, I raised my eyes and I looked up to the city, and yes, there was Faithful being ushered in. But he was not quite the same as he had been before. Now he was bright. He was glorious above the sun at noonday. He had on a white linen robe that was his for eternity. I heard it said that he now had a new name that no man could name. Oh, there was great rejoicing as he was ushered into those gates. Angels sang praises on high to the great King, thanking him for this blessed privilege. I watched as Faithful was led to a place where he was given a golden crown. We heard the proclamation, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh, he began to meet with many of the other pilgrims who had previously walked along this path and who had entered into the gate, into this glorious city. Many were there that he had read of during his life, who had died many years before, who had sealed their faithfulness with their blood. There were many there that he had once known personally, and he had been acquainted with, and he was very glad to see them, for they had died also previously, and to see them here, having proven their faithfulness, was such a joy unto him. He was introduced to the seven messengers of the Son and also of his well chosen ones. Oh, that was indeed a blessed event to meet those who had gone before, building and establishing the way in which he had just been so recently walking. Faithful rejoiced and he wept tears of gladness. Then in solemn procession, he was led to the Son. Faithful stood quietly for a while, looking upon him who loved us so, and who for our transgressions was slain. And they embraced. Then the Son led Faithful into a room and presented him to his Father, great King. He fell to his knees, and he offered praise and thanksgiving to him, for he was all that he knew he would be, all loving, all powerful, all wise. And he thanked him from the bottom of his heart for his mighty love towards him, Faithful, and for providing such a glorious plan as he had. Oh, such a scene as this can scarcely be described. I too wept for joy at the sight of these things. And I tried to reach out to them and join them. And I cried out, "Oh, here I am. Take me too. Let me join you with you in this everlasting joy. Please, please take me." And I cried and I cried out to them. And then I awoke from my dream. So now, you know what I have seen. It was, in fact, a joyful dream. It told of one who towed the path, enduring pain and toil and wrath. Of one who suffered every way, but still would not refuse to say, "How blessed am I to be found here. He takes away my every fear. He leads me through temptation's hour and comforts me with his great power. He gave me many things to eat and shown the pathway for my feet. brought me to the Golden Gate, the sight for which I could not wait, and took me to that golden shore where I can praise Him evermore. And so, dear listener, as I talk, I bid you know that we too walk in the same path that faithful trod, wherein we try to serve our God. He gives us trial, He gives us joy, He gives us things we may employ in our long walk to keep us pure, to make our calling and election sure. Resist temptation, from it flee, lean on Him, and you will see that He will scatter blessings round, and finally He'll win your crown. I hope from this you'll never fall. I bid farewell, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for sharing with us that vision of the Christian walk. Brother Jim has asked that we close with hymn number 262. Sing all five verses, Rising on the Last. Brother Jim will close his discourse with prayer, and then we'll ask that you would all be seated for some final announcements. Hymn number 262, Shall We Meet?
Yes.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee to offer up our grateful thanks for the rich blessings that have been ours by Thy grace these past several days. We pray that the lessons that we have learned that we might fix firmly in our minds and in our hearts, that we might depart from this place having been built up in the most holy faith, and that as the trials and afflictions come upon us once again, that we might stand in them more faithfully, endure them more soundly, that we might be a better witness to being offended by Your Son. Forgive us for the weaknesses that we have had in the past. Forgive us in the future for wherein we fail to apply these things. Grant us Your grace to help and Your strength to see our weaknesses and to apply those things that we need to overcome them. Bless each and every one here now, soon to leave for their various homes. Be with them, watch over them, my angels. Help them to meditate upon the good things that they have received. They might take some of this joy home with them. We give thanks for all that You have done for us. We give thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, who died on our behalf. And we thank You in His most precious name.
Brethren, if we could be seated for a few announcements. Many have been asking about the manner in which the convention photos will be made available. The photographs will be mailed to you. Your address is on the registration form. We have a record of those who have ordered the photographs. It's expected that it will take approximately 6 weeks for the photographs to arrive. Please, if you could leave the convention hymn books on the chairs, the deacons will collect those at the end of the session. Again, the announcement was made yesterday, but just as a reminder, to please leave your linens in your rooms. And also, the banner that is seen behind us is available for anyone who would be able to put it to use. It's rather large, we can put it on a refrigerator, but it may come in handy in some locations. Well, brethren, we certainly have been blessed over the past few days of convention. And blessings like these don't come without a corresponding responsibility and price. We're going to be departing now, and we have the opportunity to live our common days in common ways. The Manatex this morning that we just had indicated that the Christian can be viewed as a boat in the ocean. And we've had an opportunity during these past few days to be settled here in a very safe harbor. And we're going to be heading up, hopefully, to reach that blessed harbor that is the goal of all of us. But in the meantime, it's important to keep in mind that a boat, although it's safe in the harbor, was not meant to be in the harbor, but it was built to go out on the open sea. And as each of us depart, we have blessings that we've gained from here to take into our everyday lives and to utilize the lessons that we have received here and to receive the sanctifying effect of these and to have them affect our lives in a way that will be a glory to the Lord. We've had the benefit of instruction.